Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. Glad to have those of you who are with us there on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of those, be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, get the word out even more there as you can to others. And so I encourage you to take the time to do that. And welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. If you need that number, call the church office. We'll be glad to give that to you, or you can see me after the service and I'll share that with you. If you're at home and you have access to the website, to the internet there, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download today's worship bulletin. Those are around at the tables and the windows here, out at the door out here outside too. The ushers will be glad to give you one of those. Be sure to get one because we've got a lot of upcoming things. You've also got the children's worship bulletin that you can download from there also. Those are in the windowsill to my right. So if you have children who need one of those, please feel free to pick up one of those. And a little while later, we'll be dismissing for children's church. So they'll be meeting on this side. Brother Mike will tell you when that is. I also want to welcome those who are our guests who are here this morning. If you're one of our first-time guests, we want to encourage you to pick up one of the bags on the sides of the stage here or at the door back there or out here in the hallway. It's got some gifts in it that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. It's got some information about our church, so we encourage you to take the time to pick up one of those bags. If you brought somebody with you, make sure they get one of those also, and we just wanted to make sure you knew of that. Also, under that info tab, I forgot to share with you on HighlandBaptistChurch.com, you can download your prayer list, so be sure to get that downloaded. If for some reason you did not get one of the Lord's Supper cups as you came in, would you raise your hand? Our deacons would be glad to come around and to give you one. I see one down here, one over there. So keep your hand up so they can see where you are. All right, and then after we sing our first song, we'll be partaking of our Lord's Supper, so that's when our deacons will need to be ready to come after we sing this song. Brother Mike.
"483, Footsteps of Jesus."
So we're going to ask if our deacons will go ahead and make their way to the front, and we're going to begin with our Lord's Supper part of our service. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, his instructions about the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself." And so before we partake of the Lord's Supper, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we examine our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. What a blessed time this is to join in worship before you, and what a wonderful expression of our worship and partaking of the Lord's Supper, to remember the body of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for us and the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. Father, I pray this morning that there are those who are here who are believers who know Christ as their Lord and Savior as they participate in this Lord's Supper. Father, I pray that it will be a holy expression to them of their love for you and for what you have done in their hearts and in their lives. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to make a way where there seemed to be no way, for us to be reunited with you through our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So bless this time in the partaking of the bread and the partaking of the cup as we do this in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke's gospel, it tells us that as they had went to the upper room, Jesus had come, and when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And it says that he took the bread and gave thanks. I'm going to ask Brother Steve, if he will, to give thanks for the partaking of the bread.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can come to this table. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have of everlasting salvation through the suffering that you had on the cross that day. Lord, we're just grateful for what you give us. We're grateful for all you do. We're just so thankful, Lord, that you sacrificed your Son for our salvation. At this time,
on your cup, you'll find a little clear piece that you can pull off of the top of the silver part to expose the bread. If you would do that and remove your bread, Jesus said, "As you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." And after they partook of the bread, and after he had given it to his disciples and they had eaten it, he took the cup and gave thanks also. And someone asked Brother Mark Smith, if he would, to bless the partaking of the cup.
Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Redeemer, our Atoner. Thank you that we can remember his sacrifice and we can be grateful in our hearts for the salvation and the grace that you have bestowed upon us. We just think of him as we remember his death. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. So pull the silver lining off and it'll expose the cup for you to partake of it. When Jesus had given thanks for the partaking of the cup, he gave this to his disciples and he said, "Take and drink this. This is my blood that is poured out for you in the new covenant. This do in remembrance of me. It also tells us that when they left that evening, they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they sang a hymn. And so we want to ask you if you would to stand with us and to sing Blessed Be the Tie as Brother Mike leads us. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Well, this time in your bulletin, you'll notice that we come to our missionaries of the week. Our missionaries are Randy and Kimberly Windham. They are our IMB, International Mission Board missionaries, who are serving in Zambia. They are seeking there to plant churches and to transform lives with the gospel. So we want to encourage you to pray for Randy and Kimberly Windham and pray that God would strengthen those new church plants as they seek to, and that God would give them opportunities to act on what they're doing to start new churches in what they have learned. We also want to encourage you to be praying for the golden offering for Tennessee Missions. We gave you your insert last week. Some of those are still around on tables. You can be sure to pick up one of those. It's got information in there about our golden offering for Tennessee Missions. But we wanted to share with you each Sunday some of the personal stories of what is happening and what is going on with our missionaries. This video this morning is on the compassion ministries that our golden offering for Tennessee Missions goes to support. So prayerfully watch this.
So the heart of Embrace Grace is to make sure that every young woman that is experiencing an unplanned pregnancy has a church family to go to for spiritual, emotional, and physical support. And how they do that is they equip local churches to host 12-week-long support groups on their campus where women can come, and these groups are specifically designed to help meet the needs of women in these challenging circumstances. Many of the women, when they first come to us, are in desperate need of community. They feel very lonely. They feel very isolated. They don't have great relationship with their own mothers. They don't have a lot of family support. So when they come to us, they are hungry for friends. They're hungry for community. They're hungry for just people to love them and to take them by the hand and say, it's going to be okay.
It was a point in time during my pregnancy with my last child where I had thought about going through the process of getting an abortion. And I had the money and everything. What saved me was God. He works in so many mysterious ways, and he stopped me from doing it. And he led me to Leslie and Embrace Grace Operation Life. I think I would have had a lot of regrets.
So what led me to start an Embrace Grace group at Judson was I was challenged by a sermon that I heard where the gentleman was challenging us to go out and find places right around our local churches where the gospel needed to be shared.
As a single mom who has been through a lot in life and had a difficult hand and didn't know God, I didn't have family, I didn't have anybody there for me. This is what people like me need. This is family. The members in this group are almost like moms to me. It's like God is speaking through them to me.
Each semester we ask the girls to fill out a survey one of the questions we always ask them is, do you feel like you have grown closer to the Lord during this time? And 100% of the time we hear absolutely yes. They have grown in their relationship with the Lord. They've taken a next step with the Lord. They're starting to listen for the Lord. They're starting to hear his voice. They're starting to read scripture. They're starting to have daily devotional time. And so absolutely the impact that we have on these girls in their personal relationship with the Lord is immeasurable.
You know, we all have our struggles. And a lot of times some moms don't have nobody to turn to and they just give up. And places like this, they'll save your life. And I think God works in that way too.
Because Tennessee Baptists give through the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions, we're able to partner with churches that are serving single women across the state of Tennessee.
God is good, and I love Leslie, I love everybody, and they became my friends and my family.
For Randy and Kimberly Windham and for our ministries of the Golden Offering of Tennessee Missions. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of what we've heard this morning of this testimony and for our missionaries who are serving in Zambia. Father, we just pray that you would have your hands upon each one of them. Bless them, Lord, and help them to continue sharing the gospel. May churches continue to grow. May souls continue to be saved. May those who are coming to faith in Christ be discipled and grow in their walk with you. Thank you for this ministry through our Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions, this compassion ministry. And we just pray, God, that you will bless that ministry that is going on up in the Nashville area, as well as many other compassion ministries across our state. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to seek to serve you in whatever way that you would open the opportunities for us as individuals, as a church, Lord, to just seek to follow you in all that you would have us to do. So bless our missionaries, provide for their needs, and we pray, God, that you'll bless this service this morning in everything we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We do want to mention just a few quick announcements here. Just want to remind you, you can do your online giving there at the church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to that far right-hand side and click the Give Online tab. But you've got your offering envelopes in the pews in front of you, so be sure to take the time to do that. We also want to remind you that we've got a couple of other things coming up. We've got our church directory that's coming up. You'll find in your bulletin this QR code that's on the screen. It's in your bulletin this morning, so you can scan it from there. That church website or that website address is listed there. Also, that's tinyurl.com/34VUDTB. You can do that, scan the code, or you can call the church office. You'll see the dates that are listed there as well as the times. It's an easy thing for you to do that. We are going to need some help in setting up things and getting ready for that. So we also have some forms down here at the front. We want to encourage you to pick up one of those. And to fill that out, if you can help us with publicizing the directory, if you can help us with contacting families or maybe helping those days of the appointment. So we want to encourage you to help us with that, if at all possible. We do want to just remind you, we didn't share this last Sunday morning, but we've shared it last Sunday night as well as Wednesday night, that what we're doing for the directory is just family units. If you want to take larger family unit things, where maybe you and your spouse and maybe your kids and their kids, you can set that up with our photographers for a later time. But for right now, we're just doing just our of our family units. That may be a single person, that may be a couple, a spouse, that may be you and your kids. But the extended families, we want to save that for another time. You'll have a 15-minute time slot, and we want to move you in as quickly as possible and out as quickly as possible. So these cards are on the walls in different places around the building. Be sure to take a look at that, take a picture of it. You'll be able to see that. And then you'll notice also in your bulletins this morning, we had an insert that's in the bulletin this morning about the Christmas backpacks. That's coming up next Sunday. We're going to have those available for you. The Tennessee Baptist Convention, through the Compassion Ministries that we just watched, is asking for churches to help provide over 7,000 backpacks to go across the state. The ones that we give here will go to Middle Tennessee. So we want to encourage you to do that. We'll have those available next week. They'll have the indication on it, whether it's male or female, what age group, and all of that on it. But you'll see the insert that tells you some of the things to pack to put in that bag. We want full bags, and so we want to encourage you to pick up one of those bags, fill it up, and then you'll have about 4 Sundays before you'll need to get that back to us. And so those will be available next Sunday, but you've got at least the information in your hands this morning to begin to get ready for that. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Take your hymnals now and turn to 390 and join us as we sing, "We Are Called to Be God's People." Spirit. Children's Church will be gathered over here on the piano side during this next song. So turn with us, if you would, to hymn 495 and stand. And let's sing Serve the Lord with Gladness.
Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. We're going to be looking at verse 12 down through verse 16. I've entitled this message this morning, Growing in Your Faith. And this is for every one of us who are here as believers this morning. And for those who may not have yet trusted by faith in Christ, there are a lot of gospel message in here for you also. So let's stand, if you would, and let's read God's Word in honor of His Word. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin, if you will, with verse 13 down through verse 16. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your Word this morning. We pray, God, that You will use it to strengthen us in our relationships with You. Help us, Lord, to indeed to grow in our faith, to learn these principles that we need to have firmly in our hearts and in our lives, throughout our lives, until that day when You call us home or the trumpet sounds and we're presented before our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, perfect, spotless, without blemish. Father, I pray this morning that you will speak into the hearts of those who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. May today be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the thrust of what we looked at last week in last week's passage was that every born-again believer has a ministry. The word ministry means service, a place of service, and we talked about that last week. Each of us has a ministry. Each one of us has a place of service. We just need to find what that is. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the structure of the church itself. As you saw in the video this morning, a lady there who was touched in her heart by a message that was preached, and she felt the Lord laying on her heart to find the area around her that needed ministry, and that was the ministry that the Lord laid upon her heart to begin. And that's what we need to be doing. In verse 12, go back to verse 12, if you will. In verse 12, it says that we are to, that the role of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and especially the shepherds and teachers is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, in the King James Version, the word saints has a comma after it, but that's really a little bit misleading there. It doesn't give you the impact and really the thrust of the passage there. Who are the saints? We've talked about that before. We have to understand that saints are born again believers. If you've been saved, you're a saint. Now, we're not talking about your behavior. We're not talking about whether you're consistent or inconsistent and how that may be in your Christian life. The word saint means somebody who believes in Jesus Christ, who is set apart for his kingdom work. So when the Bible addresses in these books to the saints, it's not talking about believers who were some kind of especially holy, saintly, if you will, individuals who've gone on to heaven. It's talking about living people who've been born again, who've trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And as a leader in the church, as a pastor in the church, Matt's role as the Minister of Youth and Education is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But it doesn't just stop with us. That goes on to our Sunday school teachers. That goes on to our Awana leaders. Our Awana leaders' role is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, as well as our Sunday school teachers are. If God's people ever truly laid hold on that concept of the leaders equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, the church would go out and do their ministry. It would be an absolutely revolutionizing thing for the church. We have a large group of our people today who are here this morning. You understand what that means. But you would think that if every member of our fellowship understood that they're a minister, as verse 12 says, to equip the saints of the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ, how that would transform and change churches. We have a lot of people who work in Awana. We have a lot of people who work in our Sunday school. We have a lot of people who do other kinds of ministry in our church and outside our church. And we just want to encourage you to continue doing what God has laid upon your heart to do. The body of Christ there that he talks about in verse 12 is a figure of speech for the church. The church is compared in the book of Ephesians to a building, which points to its foundation. It's also compared to a body, which talks about its head. The head of the church is not the pastor. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. It also compares the church to a bride, which talks about the love that ought to exist between the Lord's church and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul here is using this figure of speech as the body of Christ. That'll come back into play in some later verses that we'll look at. But with that context in mind, and you come to verse 13, verse 13 says this again. It says that we are to be building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is a breathtaking statement. And when you read on through verse 14 to verse 16, you'll notice in those verses, he's talking there about the dangers of deception, that you need to be growing in your faith, especially as you look at verse 14. He says that we don't need to any longer be like children that are tossed to and fro by the waves, carried away by every wind of doctrine. We're going to look at that in more detail, the whole matter of spiritual deception, when we get over to chapter 6, where he's going to develop that even more, which is the classic passage there on spiritual warfare and satanic deception. But for now, he's just kind of sprinkling enough of it in for us on the subject here in these verses to catch our attention and to make us aware of the fact that in this Christian life, we are seeking to grow and mature in the Lord, and we're to be seeking to fulfill our ministry and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ and less like us because we have an enemy. We have someone who's trying to keep us from becoming all that we're intended to be in Jesus Christ. We have a deceiver, and his name is Satan. The Bible says that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it talks about the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil, the strategies of the devil. It tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, the devil's a clever enemy. He knows the strategies of warfare quite well. And he's a strategist. You know, in war, a general learns how to shift his focus in order to deceive his opponent. The devil's been successful in our society in many ways in dethroning God from the minds of people and enthroning ourselves, mankind, and removing values and sacred matters from society as a whole. But there's still this lingering vacuum that's in the heart of man that realizes something is missing. You may be here this morning and you realize that something is missing in your life. You know, if you don't trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the devil's going to try to fill that void, that emptiness in your life with whatever he can. And so he's seeking to cause people to try to fill that spiritual vacuum in their hearts, not by the truth of God's word, but many times by religious error. Just enough of the truth sprinkled with the lies to lead us astray. And so he's trying to get us to fill that vacuum, not by the true God, but by false gods. And so I want to show you from verses 13 down through verse 16 how you can grow in your faith to resist the schemes of the devil. In order to do that, you need to build your faith with certain safeguards so that you don't fall for the deception of the devil. As parents, we need to make sure we're instilling these truths in our children also. So in verse 13, the first thing we see that we need to commit ourselves to is an unfolding maturity. An unfolding maturity. Notice what he says in that first phrase there, until we all attain. In other words, it hasn't yet fully been realized. He's talking about at the arrival of a goal, to the unity of the faith. Now, if you go back to verse 3 in this same chapter, the whole emphasis of these first 16 verses is on unity, oneness in the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 3. In verse 3, he says that we need to be eager to maintain or endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So in verse 3 there, he's talking about maintaining. In verse 13, he's talking about attaining. Notice what he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. So in verse 3, he's talking about maintaining the faith. In verse 13, attaining the unity. So there's a sense in which unity has already been given to us, because when you become a Christian, you become a part of the body of Christ and you are unified with others, whether you believe it or not or like it or not. People who are across the sanctuary from you are sitting next to you. They're your brother and sister in Christ if they know Jesus and you know Jesus. And so there's already a sense in which unity has been given. But there's also still a sense in which unity is a goal. One of the things that you'll find in the Bible is that there's a tension with this. There's a tension between position and practice. For instance, we'll take that word we used a moment ago, that word saint. The Bible says that we are saints if you trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's our position. Then on the other hand, the Bible says that we're to live like saints. That's our practice. So you've got position and you've got practice. And that's where the constant tension between what we are in terms of our position before the Lord and what we are to become in our daily practice comes into place. The unity of the faith is a given in terms of spiritual realities. In fact, he's already listed in verses 3, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6, a sevenfold unity which is ours in the Lord Jesus. Every born-again believer shares that sevenfold unity. There's one body, there's one spirit, there's one hope, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God. There are no others. We all share in that sevenfold unity. That's our position. We share that unity. But now when he comes to these verses, he says that there's to be this unfolding maturity that we might arrive at this unity, that we might achieve this unity until we all attain to the unity of the faith. But until then, we as believers are to commit ourselves to a growing, unfolding maturity. We have the opportunity right now, you have that opportunity right now in your life to mature and to grow in your Christian life. If you look back over your Christian life from the moment you got saved to today and you don't see any growth, you don't see any change, then there's a problem in your relationship with the Lord and you need to begin growing in that walk with the Lord. That what he's talking about here in verse 13, what is it that the Lord wants us to mature into? What's the goal? He tells us there in verse 13, to attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that's a complete, spiritually mature person in Christ Jesus. What it does not mean is it does not mean a sinless person. It means you're a mature person. We'll never be completely sinless until we get to heaven. When you're in your glorified body. In this world, our bodies are always going to be affected by sin in this world. That's why we're deteriorating. That's why we're getting grayer. That's why we're getting more wrinkles. That's why we're aging and getting more to the point that we're facing death in our lives because of the effects of sin. And so that's one of the punishments of our sin. And so what he's talking about here is a complete mature person spiritually to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So do you see what he's saying here? It says there that you can have this unfolding maturity. You can become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's why God saved us. He wants us to be like Jesus. In fact, God was so pleased with His Son, Jesus Christ, that He wants us to be just like Him. When Jesus was baptized, you remember what the Father said from heaven? The heavens opened, and the Heavenly Father spoke from heaven, and He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So God one day is going to fill eternity with a people who are just like Jesus. Did you know one day, think about this about yourself, one day you're going to be just like Jesus? That just blew your minds, blew my mind. To think that one day I'm going to be like Jesus. You're going to be like Jesus. We know our faults. We know our sins. We know our wickedness. It's hard for us to fathom and conceive that that is what He is molding and shaping us in throughout our lives, growing us in that walk to one day present us before the bridegroom, spotless, without blemish, more like Jesus than we've ever been before. Now think about this. Jesus has gone back to heaven. This world can't see Jesus Christ in the flesh right now. So the only Jesus that this world sees is the Jesus they see in us. So we're to be becoming less and less like Jim, less and less like you, and more like Jesus Christ, so that this world will see Jesus in us. That's the first commitment that we're to make, a commitment to maturity, to grow in the Lord, to become more like Jesus. Every day of our lives, we ought to be praying, Lord, make me more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. And in order for that to happen, there are some things in your life that he has to clip off some rough edges. He has to get out the chisel and hammer a few things off of your life, to work on your life, to whittle away at some of the things that aren't like Jesus in our lives, so that we can grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that word stature, just as a byword here, is a word that was used of Zacchaeus. He was a man of small stature, little stature, physical height. It was used of the blind man when he said, he is of age. They were asking him, how did you become healed? And asking his parents. And he said, well, he's of age. He's of stature. He's of fullness of height, fullness of maturity. So when he says that, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that mind-boggling concept is, it explodes our mind. That's the first commitment, an unfolding maturity, that we're to grow in stature, to grow in our relationship with the Lord. The second commitment is that we need to be committed to, is to commit ourselves to the unwavering stability, to an unwavering stability. Notice verse 14. So verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves. Now that's a fascinating verse. He's saying there, as you continue on with that verse, that we're to be stable in our faith, be substantial in your faith. In a lot of places, in a lot of churches, people who come to church, their faith, their walk with the Lord is just a few inches deep. We need to be neck deep in the relationship with the Lord. We need to have a substantial faith. We need to have a solid faith. We don't need to be wishy-washy in our faith. That's what he's talking about here, like children being wishy-washy. Now, there's a recognition in that statement, first of all, that we begin as children in the faith. Every single one of us who are here, if you've trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you began as a child in Christ, a spiritual child. He's not saying don't ever be children. He's just saying don't be children anymore. He's saying don't stay children. We all start as children. Some of you who are here this morning, you have been saved 50 plus years. But 50 years ago, when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you were born again. And when you were born again into God's family, you were a babe in Christ. We all start off that way. Nobody starts off in their relationship with the Lord the way you are now. So keep that in mind, that even though somebody physically may be an older person, they may still be just a babe in Christ. So give them some time to grow. Give them some grace as they grow in that walk with the Lord. We none start off fully grown. We all start off as a babe in Christ. We all start as babies. Babies can't talk. The one vocabulary they know is the one that they pick up along the way. And that's why we ought to be careful what we say around babies. Babies, though, have some certain tendencies that relate to us in the physical life, that relate to us in the spiritual realm also. One of the tendencies of babies is that they're constantly changing in more ways than one. They're crying one minute, and they're laughing the next minute. They can have a tragedy on their hands at one moment, and then the next moment, everything's fine. And we're pulling our hair out trying to figure out what's going on. They're constantly changing. That's the tendency of a baby. Same thing with spiritual babies. Did you know spiritual babies can be constantly changing? There are some people who change churches every time they turn around. Another characteristic of babies is that they're easily deceived. They're easily deceived. A little child will believe anything pretty much you tell them. They have huge imaginations. They're gullible. That's why cults like to get a hold of baby Christians, young believers in the faith, because they can take some of that truth and begin to twist things from God's word. They're easy to persuade. They believe anything. That's also one of the reasons why, as a church, we need to have strong ministries that are aimed at our children, that are aimed at our young people, at our youth, to help them to come to faith early in their life and to grow in that faith and remain strong and stay strong, so that when they get over into early adulthood, when they go off to college, they're not easily strayed. Because false teachers and false speakers are going to come and creep in and toss babes in Christ around. They prey on the gullible. They say things like, well, all religions are the same. They say, if you're a good person, you'll get to heaven. And part of that sounds good, doesn't it? They say, well, the Bible is just one book among many other religious books. They say, oh, you can believe in the idea of the resurrection, just not a bodily resurrection. They say, being a Christian is just one of the many ways to God and to heaven. There's other ways to get to heaven. Other ways to get to God. If we're not careful, we're not building up our children in the faith, they can easily be deceived. Something else about babes. They have short attention spans. They have short attention spans. They get tired of something really quick. Some of us as adults get tired of things really quick. They're just having the best time in the world sometimes. They've got a little toy that they're playing with, and then somebody puts a new toy in front of them, and they drop this toy, and they run over to that toy. Or maybe another child gets a toy, and they're like, I want that toy. I don't want the one I was playing with. I want that toy. And so they're constantly changing and have such short attention spans. Spiritually, that happens to babes in Christ. Babies are very unstable. They aren't solid. As we said, their vocabulary is limited. We start as babies, but this verse says, don't be babies anymore. Don't be little children anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, but I, brothers, Paul's writing to a New Testament church, and listen to what he says to them. He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, as spiritual adults, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. He's writing to a church, and he's saying, I'm having to address you like little babies in Christ because of the things that are going on in your life and because of where you are spiritually. I can't even talk to you like spiritual adults. So it's possible for a Christian to be a babe in Christ. But God's pattern is that we don't stay as babes. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, that we are to be like newborn infants, longing for the pure spiritual milk. Why? So that by it you may grow up into salvation. So you have to make a commitment to an unwavering stability. Don't stay like wishy-washy babies. Begin to grow in the Lord. Notice the characteristics of baby Christians, childish Christians. He says they're tossed to and fro. That's the picture of a ship that's out on the sea, and the waves are tossing the ship from place to place. A few years ago, on our 25th anniversary, we went on a cruise. And we were out there on the cruise, and one night they closed the decks on the outside. You couldn't go outside because the waves were rocking the ship. Fortunately, we had taken some Dramamine with us. At dinner time, things were tossing to and fro in more than one way. It was rough as we were rocking back and forth on that ship. It gives you a new perspective of being tossed to and fro. It's dizzying. It's confusing. It's that kind of effect of confusing teaching. And so babes in Christ can be easily confused with all the worldly teachings that come out. It makes them dizzy and confused, carried about with every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind. Baby Christians are susceptible to the latest religious book, to the newest teaching, to some strange, mysterious doctrine. And so we need to be careful that we're being grounded in God's Word. Another characteristic of spiritual babies and babies in general, too, is that they like to be entertained. Baby Christians have a tendency to run to the biggest show in town. They just find the biggest religious show in town where they can be entertained. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think you have to come to church and be a deadhead. I don't think you should come to church and never smile and never enjoy yourself. I think you ought to get all excited and go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. I don't think we ought to come to church and never get excited. That's not my point. I don't mean that at all. But what I'm trying to say to you is that there's something deeper than just enjoying yourself. It ought to be fun to be a Christian. It ought to be fun to come to church. But when you get through all of that entertainment, there's got to be some meat and potatoes. There's got to be some spiritual substance to it. Something that you can hold on to when the winds begin to blow and the waves begin to toss to and fro and to tumble you. You need to have stability in your life. And so the devil is very readily and easily trying to use confusing teaching to lead spiritual babes away in Christ. He's also using cunning teachers, as verse 14 goes on to talk about. He says, no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, or the sleight of men. The word cunning or sleight there is the word for tossing of dice. It's talking about those who use trickery in teaching with error. It is those who are experts in crafty presentation of lies. All you have to do is go search YouTube and you can find tons of that. Cunning craftiness, cunning methods, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, or whereby they lie in wait to deceive, means to lead astray. And so just because, understand this, just because somebody stands behind a pulpit, just because somebody holds a Bible in their hand, doesn't mean they're of God. I want to encourage you, check everything I say by the Word of God. I could very easily make a mistake. So you ought to be examining anything anybody says, standing behind the pulpit or holding a Bible, to make sure it lines up in the Bible. What you ought to always ask is, when you hear any teaching, ask yourself this question: where is that in the Bible? Where is the Bible support for that? If you don't, you'll be a sitting duck for all kinds of cultic teachings. You have to study scriptures in its context. Don't let somebody throw a verse out or two out there. Find out what the context has to say about it. Where does that verse come from? How does it fit into that passage of scripture? Can you take that verse out of context? Sure you can. Anybody can. And you can teach anything. You could say that the Bible teaches that you ought to commit suicide. You say, where do you get that from, preacher? Well, the Bible says that Judas went out and hanged himself. But it also says in the Bible that Jesus said, go and do likewise. That's an extreme example of taking two separate verses of Scripture out of context, putting them together, and making it teach something that the Bible doesn't teach. That's what you call cunning craftiness. That's what you call deception. And that's why one of the reasons I try to preach exponentially, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as we go through a section, so you can get the whole context. Paul was aware that this was going to be a problem for the church at Ephesus. One of the reasons the early church encountered all the false doctrine that it did is because the devil knew that if he could weaken the church at the very beginning and cripple it, it would hinder the church all the rest of its existence. So the devil threw everything he had at the New Testament church. Paul knew that. And that's why when Paul came and he spoke to the Ephesians, to the elders of Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 through verse 32, Paul had a deep concern for their stability as New Testament believers. And of course, it's God's concern for us today. Paul is talking in those verses in Acts 20, verse 28, and he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Paraphrasing that, he's saying, you preachers, you leaders, you ought to watch out for yourselves. You ought to watch out for your people. You ought to be sure and teach them the Word of God. Not what you think, not what you feel, but what does the Word of God have to say? He says in Acts 20, verse 29, I know that after my departure, he says, I know this is what's going to happen. Fierce wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. That was the cultic teachings, the false teachings. He says, and from among your own selves, he says, that's within the faith, will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them instead of pointing people to Jesus. So what were they to do? Notice verse 31 and verse 32 in this passage in Acts. He says, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. How are you going to keep yourself in an unwavering stability? Stay in the word of God. Make it a priority for your life. God bless you for being here this morning. You have exposed yourself to the teaching of the word. You won't be as susceptible if you hear this message and live in this truth, if you stay in the word and be taught by the word. Commit yourself to an unfolding maturity. Commit yourself to an unwavering stability. And finally, commit yourself to an unrelenting activity. Not just any activity. We're going to see it in verse 15 and verse 16. What is that activity? You ought to commit yourself to a growth in the Lord. He says in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. He's talking about the church here as a body and growing up in the body. That's growing up into the head, speaking the truth in love. Literally, it means truthing in love, living in love. You're to have truth and love. These are the two most important aspects of growing in the Lord. You need the truth for your mind, and you need the love for your heart. If it's all truth and no love, then you're going to be brutal in your walk. There are some people who pride themselves on speaking truth, and that's all they ever speak. They never speak love. But if it's love without truth, that's sentimentality, and you're unfaithful. So you could go the extreme the other way. You have to give the truth with love, but you also have to give love with the truth. Your mind grows by taking in the truth. Your heart grows by giving out love. And then in verse 16, it talks about how the body grows. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And this is a fascinating passage because it was written 2,000 years ago. An astonishing passage in the scripture here about how the human body functions. It's scientifically phenomenal what this verse of scripture says about the way the body functions. It's talking about how the body grows, how each part of the body is dependent on every other part of the body for its growth. He's saying that every part of the body contributes to every other part. We've learned in the last few decades more about cell structure than we've ever learned before. Your body has about 28 trillion cells, or 36 trillion, 28 for women, 36 for men. Just one eye has over 100 million cells. And they're all different. They're shaped different. Your blood cells, you've seen those sometimes in images, they're kind of like lifesavers with a hole in it. Your nerve cells are shaped like fibers or wires. Your muscle cells are sleek and elastic. Your fat cells, they're just like big plastic garbage bags that are taking everything in, all the junk. Each cell has a specific function. They all contribute their part to the total welfare and pleasure and function and growth of the body. Every cell has a nucleus. Every cell breathes. Every cell secretes. Every cell reproduces. And every cell contributes. In those cells, there's a nucleus, and in that nucleus, you have DNA that is a double spiraled rod. On those chromosomes, there are 23 pairs of chromosomes, 46 in total if you're a human being. And on those chromosomes, you have your DNA in genes, which we now know has over 3 billion letters of instruction. Those DNA instructions would fill 1,000 books with 600 pages worth of information and instruction. Your body is dependent on all of those cells to contribute to one another. That's exactly the way the church is to function. We're all to contribute to the growth and the development of one another. Commit yourself to an unrelenting, unhesitating growth, the activity of the growth in your faith in the Lord. That's why it's so important for every one of us to contribute to the body. Now think about this. Occasionally, a cell will become selfish, and that cell will quit giving out. and that cell will quit sharing and it will only take in. That cell just takes in and it takes in and it takes in and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it's bigger. We have a medical name for that. It's called cancer. When the members of the body get selfish and they come to church with the spirit of what's in it for me, how's this going to affect me, what are you going to give me, and it all becomes about me rather than the Lord, then understand this, we become like a cancer in the body of Christ, and the body becomes susceptible. Let me encourage you this morning, grow in your faith. Grow in your faith that you don't become a cancer to the body of Christ. Grow in your faith that you become more like Jesus, especially to this world, especially to your family, to your children, and to your grandchildren, to your husband or to your wife, that they would see more of Jesus in you than you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the truth of your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, there may be some who are here this morning and they've never trusted by faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that they would simply call out to you and say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried in the tomb, and arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart and life and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Father, I pray they would come forward if they prayed something like that in their heart this morning, that they would come forward to publicly profess that faith in Christ. But Lord, I would dare say there are many of us who are here as believers, and we have maybe trusted in Christ many years ago, but we're still a babe in Christ. And it's time for us to grow up in the Lord. Father, I pray that we would seek out those spiritual mentors and those who would pour into our lives the truth of the Word of God. Lord, that we would apply ourselves to studying your Word and making sure we're not just studying it in the mind, but that we're living the love of it in our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord. I pray that there's those who need to come, Lord, maybe this morning to join this fellowship. May you lead them and guide them in their hearts to do so this morning. We give everything we have and all to you in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 285, wherever he leads, I'll go. Would you come this morning as the Lord lays on your heart, brother?
I can't.
seated for just a moment. Brother Mark Smith is going to come and share our announcements.
Good morning, everybody. Miss Linda has an announcement, it looks like. We'll let her share with us.
God has blessed Awana with an army of volunteers, and I just want to thank each and every one of them. And then this last Wednesday, he gave us more children. So we thank the Lord for that too. So we are now praying, and I told you this before if you remember, we're now praying about having two classes for Sparks during scripture time. Laura does scripture time with Sparks, and then a half an hour later she does scripture time with TNT. Sparks is kindergarten, first and second grade. And the kindergartners don't read, and the first and second graders do. So it makes it difficult to do that group, especially when there's 20 of them and 10 of them are kindergartners. So we're praying for one leader to lead the kindergartners and a helper to help that person. And I'm sure there's somebody listening or watching or praying for that to happen. Please contact Pastor Jim, myself, or you can call the office.
I don't know how anybody could turn that offer down. Thank you, Linda. We have some brothers and sisters to remember in our prayers. Brian Tate is having a surgery tomorrow. Let's be in prayer for him. Brenda Griffin and Christy Gaddis have both had surgeries in the last few days and are recuperating. Now let's be in prayer for Brenda and Christy. And then let's keep Lee and Sue Stevenson in our prayers as Lee is being evaluated for some assistance possibly and healthcare needs. And then we extend Christian sympathy to the Bell family. Bethel Bell's sister Peggy Eggleston went to be with the Lord this week. Visitation is at Kilgore on Tuesday, the 17th, at 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon, and then the graveside service will follow after that. Upcoming events, let's see. 2 weeks from today, Fifth Sunday dinner will be the 29th of September, and the church will provide the ham for that meal. And so please plan to join us and bring desserts, sides, salads, whatever you like. And then the last thing I have is Steve Connor and the nominating committee have the report for 2024-25 church years over here. At the front, either side, there's a report, several pages. Please pick up a copy of that and review it. And we will be voting on that at some point for the year, the coming year, as far as the various committees and ministry teams and so forth. If nobody has anything else, we'll go ahead and close in prayer then. All right. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of knowing you and of being part of your body. We thank you for the gifts that you give freely to all of us. May we be aware of our gifts. May we be eager to be a functional and a contributing member of that body to bring honor and glory to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.